morning with a word, with a hand here. Let's give him some applause.
All right, thank you. Take your Bibles now. Turn to the book of Acts in chapter number 1. The book of Acts and chapter number 1. And it's a blessing to be here today. And I always look forward to this time when I could preach here in my home church and appreciate my home church. And I love my home church and thank God for it. And Pastor Clear allowed me to be able to come and preach this first message of the year. And I talked to some of my evangelist buddies out there, you know, and they asked me, you know, what am I doing? And I said, well, every year, you know, for now, I don't know how many years it's been, probably, I don't know, 15 maybe. My pastor has me preach the first Sunday of the year. And they say, man, I wish my pastor would let me do that. I wish my pastor would do that. But a lot of pastors today, you know, they're pretty selfish with their pulpits. And you know, I thank God for Brother Clear and him allowing me to do this, and it really is a blessing, and I thank God for it. And as he said, we need revival. We need God to give us a revival, especially this day and age. Amen. We have a lot of things happening in our country, and you would think that, you know, with what people are saying, what people are doing, and some of the ideas that people have, you know, you would think, man, this has got to be, you know, just like in the days of Noah, when their thoughts were, you know, constantly, continually wicked. And so that's what the Bible says, even as in the days of Noah. And so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And we look at, you know, and what was happening then and what's happening now. And people today, you know, not even, you know, give out a birth certificate that says that your baby's a male or a female. Now, you know, they don't want you to know to identify it as a gender until it gets old enough, and then it decides for itself. And you never thought that, amen. But things are happening. But I believe God has given us the church, given us opportunity as Christian people to be used of God. And to make a difference, and to bring some sort of common sense to society, amen. And that's exactly why I believe God lets us continue and serve Him before He comes back. But I'm just thankful for the opportunity, and I appreciate it. And it's a blessing to be a part of this ministry sent out by this church. Brother Clear is my pastor, and my family practically grew up here, and it's just a blessing to be able to be a part of this ministry, how God led us here and my family back when I was just a teenager and brought us to this place. And you just look back in our history of our family, and you can see the hand of God and how He brought us here back in 1972, 73. And you know, some years later, here we are. And who had ever thought that I'd be standing behind the pulpit preaching the gospel? Some of you knew me when I was a teenager, amen? And so, but, you know, that's not odd. That's God, amen? And God, He's in the miracle-working business. All right, the book of Acts, chapter 1. And notice what the Bible declares here. These were the last words of Jesus before He ascended up into heaven. And anytime you hear somebody's last words, you want to pay attention, amen? The last words of Jesus. And, you know, what were your last words in the year 2018? What were your last words? What was the last thing you said? Huh? I think mine was, why did you spill that? No, I don't think it was. But, you know, well, and it's important that we understand. And usually it culminates. The last words of somebody on their deathbed culminates their entire life and their purpose and their goal and what they wanted to accomplish, and what they want the person listening to carry on. And so these were the last words of Jesus and before He ascended up into heaven. And so He gives them admonition in verse number 8 of chapter 1, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, under the uttermost parts of the earth. Those were the last words of Jesus. And giving it to the followers of God that would then establish the church and establish that church on this principle. Amen. Go out and reach the world with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's what keeps a church revived. That's what keeps a church alive. Amen. Keeps a church established. Keeps a church fresh. Who's with me? Say amen. Not dead, not dull, not stagnant like so many churches are today. And we see that as I travel across the country and preach the gospel message of Jesus Christ and see the way people conduct themselves and the attitudes that they have towards the things of God. We need to understand and realize this must be our most important priority in our life. Recognize the last words, the final words that Jesus gave before he ascended up into heaven, and that was to be a witness. Amen. Be the witness. Have the power of God. Be the witness that God wants us to be. Witness of his glory, witness of his grace, a witness of his compassion, his kindness, a witness of what God can do with an individual who's sold out to God, who's living for God, and wants to reach a world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the church that God's going to bless. That's the church that God's going to use. A church that has that passion, amen, to reach people with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Do you agree with that? Say amen. It's amazing how a newly elected congresswoman can get up and swear and use profanity towards our president. And all the people jump up and cheer. But a man of God preaches and uses the word of God, can't hardly get an amen. It's amazing to me. Amen. I mean, we as God's people, we need to understand Jesus when he says something, and we want to sit up, take notice, and we want to be aware of it, and we want to incorporate it into our life to be that witness, a powerful witness that God can use to see the gospel have an effect upon individuals, upon places, institutions. Amen. A witness. Where's the witnesses today? Where's the witness for God? And a shining, bold witness and that has the power of God in their life that allows them to overcome sin, temptation, overcome all sorts of problems. And so the admonition. Then we see, secondly, the ascension as he ascended up into heaven. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And ascension foretold that he would one day ascend up into heaven and then give us an admonition that would establish a church. Church that would carry on the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Ought to be our foundation, amen, that we live upon, that we build upon in taking this admonition in this scripture. As the Lord has ascended up into heaven, and then the affirmation that one day he will come back, amen. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, he went up. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus," aren't you glad Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Jesus doesn't change. I was reading in the book of Malachi how it said that Jesus has not changed. Amen. But, you know, churches have changed today. Fundamentalism has changed. Since I was first introduced to it back in 1973, we came and heard the gospel preach. Dr. Ed Johnson standing up and thundering forth the truths of God's word, faithfully, fervent. Amen. And, you know, and since that time, now some several years later, back then I was about 15 years old. Today I'm 60 years old. And so you mathematicians could figure that out. But it has changed. Churches have changed. People have changed. But Jesus said, "I haven't changed." Amen. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same truths, the same principles that I gave the early church, I want the church 2019 to have this type of principle in their life. And he gives the affirmation, I'm coming back, and to see what you've done with it. Amen. See what you've done with these talents, as the Bible illustrates in the Gospels. Gave one five, one two, death fell one. What happened? And then the five did good, two did good, and the one fella buried it. What are we going to do with the words of Jesus? Who's with me? Amen. And he's coming again. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. What was the message? What was the truth? What allows us to have and continue to have revival in our life? Evangelize. Don't compromise. Don't apologize. Don't antagonize. Who's with me? People antagonize the gospel. People apologize for the gospel. People compromise the gospel. We need to evangelize. Amen. Every single person that claims to know Jesus and the church set out to reach a lost and dying world. If we want God to bless us in a powerful way and to see a church having revival, we need to evangelize and not compromise. Churches today have stopped evangelizing. They've compromised and they've swallowed this Calvinistic type of idea, you know, that God has a certain select number of people that are going to be saved. It doesn't matter what we do, what we say about it. That's just going to happen. And, you know, with that type of attitude, you run into a burning building, you're not going to try to get everybody out. You're just going to get a select few out. Who's with me? The people burning up in the building, you're going to try to get them all out. Amen. And you don't pick and choose who you drag out of there and who's going to survive, who's not going to survive. Jesus gives us an admonition. Amen. And to go out and reach a multitude with the saving message that God wants people to hear. Every single individual to have opportunity to hear the gospel message of salvation. Not just a few here or there. And there's churches that used to have me come in and preach. They don't have me come in and preach anymore. They've changed. They've compromised. They don't evangelize. They've compromised. Who's with me? Now, thank God that this church has not compromised that truth. We're still running buses, and we're still going out soul winning, still trying to reach people for the glory of God. But if we want that to continue, every one of us need to have a part in this area of evangelizing, not compromising, but evangelizing. Amen. The world. And so he gives us here in this passage of Scripture some important aspects. And he talks about what we must evangelize. Jerusalem. And I like to refer to Jerusalem in the immediate area. Jerusalem was right where they were all located. And he felt it important to evangelize right there in that place. And we ought to reach people here in our neighborhood. Amen. But Jerusalem, we can see that as our family, our immediate family, and doing everything we need to do to get people saved, to get our family members saved. How many of you have lost family members? A lot of people have lost family members. When's the last time you witnessed? When's the last time you came to old-fashioned altar, prayed for them? To be saved at Jerusalem, that's our family. John chapter 1, verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak, followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, Peter, which preached at Pentecost with the power of God. And 3,000 people got saved. Amen. And it was a brother that brought another brother to Jesus. Do everything to get your family saved. Amen. I know my mom and dad got saved. They wanted to reach their family. And they prayed and witnessed and prayed and witnessed. And, you know, a lot of them would get upset. But some of them would get saved. And finally, they led my mother, my grandmother, to the Lord, my mom's mom. She heard me preach for the first time, and after I preached, she wanted me to preach the funeral. And she told me that she wanted me to say the words. That's how the old timers, amen, the old Norwegians, amen. You say the words, amen. And I said, all right. And she died, and I preached at my mom's funeral. 25 of my relatives got saved at that funeral. And 2 weeks later, a couple of them died in a car accident. And they came up to me during that time after I preached and told me that they got saved, amen. Oh, listen. Are you evangelizing your family? Have you told your mom and dad, brothers and sisters? Are you trying to get those people saved? That's your Jerusalem. Amen. Those were the last words of Jesus. Reach your family. Reach your family for the cause of Christ. You know, he was concerned about his family. I mean, one of the last words was crucified. He told his brother to take care of his mother. Who's with me? And importance of family. And oh, listen, we've got to do everything to get our family saved. And then he said, not just Jerusalem, but then Judea, you go out a little farther, that's your friends. That's your people that you know, maybe some of you grew up with, and your friends. And try to get your friends saved. The Bible says in Mark chapter 5, verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath compassion on thee. This maniac that finally got saved, fully clothed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, and he wanted to go, and the Lord said, no, I want you to go home to your friends. Witness, be the gospel, evangelize your friends. Don't compromise. You're standing for God. But do everything in your power to get people saved. And your friends, people that you know, maybe you've grown up with, maybe you used to run around with. After I got right with God, I had one of my friends come to church with me. And he heard the gospel message. His name was Mark. And that night, or that morning, he walked the aisle and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And Dr. Johnson was preaching at the time. But, and your friends, are you evangelizing your Judea? Amen. The Judea and reaching people. And the last words of Jesus was to go evangelize those folks that need to be saved. My dad had a friend that he knew when he was younger, and he had gotten a terrible accident older later on in his life. And they used to run around together, a big old gang, my mom, my dad. And I've heard this story 100 times. You know how this guy, his name was Woody, wanted to jump out of the car, but to keep him from jumping out of the car because he was intoxicated, my dad had to punch him in the mouth. And so, but later on now, several years later, and my family's saved and everybody knows it. And he gets a call from his wife, and Woody's sick. He's been in an accident. You need to go talk to him. He was in traction. You know, he's in traction. His back was broken, everything. And all he could look at was the floor. And my dad went in there, started talking to him, wanted to witness to him. So my dad got on his back, scooched underneath him. And my dad's laying on his back, talking to Woody, and led him to Christ. Who's with me? Say amen. I mean, that's evangelizing your friends. Getting people saved for the glory of God. No, God's going to bless the church. God's going to revive the church. God's going to use the church when we've got people that will not compromise but evangelize their family and their friends. And the Bible says in the Samaria. Now, Samaria. Oh, Samaria was a bad place. People didn't like to go to Samaria. People didn't like Samaria. You know, the Jews didn't like to go there. The Gentiles didn't like to go there. That's why in John chapter 4, when Jesus said, I must needs go to Samaria, the disciples, they were trying to stop him. They were trying to keep him from going. But Jesus said, no, I got to go in there. And this woman at the well, and she'd been in adultery and different things. And God led her, Jesus led her to himself. And she went into town. And the people noticed, there's something different about this woman. What's different about this woman? Let's go up and ask her. And why are you so different? And she began to tell him about this man that I met out by the well and told me these different things and told me about Jesus. Those men were so intrigued, they went out And Jesus for 2 days stayed there preaching the gospel. And people were saved. And the church was established. And we know that that church was there because John, Acts chapter 8, Philip the evangelist went to Samaria. And Acts 15, Acts 9 talk about Paul when he went through those different places. But, you know, that's why we run buses. Places that people don't want to go. Who's with me? Say amen. Samaria. Samaria. Going into those places. Oh, listen. And reaching your foes. People that may oppose the gospel. And we've got to do everything within our power. If thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon the head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Amen. Now, I remember when we started working that bus route, my dad and I worked on his bus route, going into those places. Oh, run down places. The kids don't have nothing to eat. Oh, awful. And you don't want to wear a nice suit when you're on the bus. Amen. Because the kids, they like to wipe their snot on your sleeves. But evangelizing those places that people don't want to have any part of. Who's with me? Thank God for the bus workers. Thank God for Sunday school workers. Thank God for these people that have a desire to go in and reach these people. And then the uttermost parts, that's the foreign fields. Amen. Every Christian should have a part in reaching the foreign fields. We're not able to go to, to Africa or, you know, down to Mexico and Canada, different places. But there are men and women that God call to these places. And so we ought to be a help and a blessing and still stay involved, still stay connected, especially today. You can easily stay connected through Facebook that has over 2 billion members. And you can get connected that way, cell phones. It makes it a lot easier now to stay connected. But offer up these prayers. We need to evangelize the foreign field, the world, with the gospel message. The Bible said that God so loved the what? World. The world. He gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you have everlasting life? Are you here this morning? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? You don't have that assurance of salvation. You need to get that assurance. Evangelize. Don't compromise. When it comes to your family, when it comes to your friends, when it comes to your foes, when it comes to the foreign fields, don't compromise. Don't compromise. Evangelize. Let's reach people. Let's have the revived church that's diligent in spreading the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray you take the message. Help us to recognize the truth of it. I pray, dear God, that you'll give us this passion, this desire to want to be used of you, dear God, to spread the gospel to our family, our friends, our foes, and take it sometimes where people don't want to go, in our foreign fields, and not forgetting about those that are on the mission field, sacrificing themselves, their lives, their kids, their grandkids. Oh, God, help us to stay connected, praying for them, being a blessing to them. Oh, dear God, take the message. Help us to realize these were your last words before you went to heaven. And we're going to see the importance of it. We're going to be obedient to it. We're going to carry out the gospel message and evangelize. And you hear you're not saved, and give the invitation, get saved. God spoke to your heart about evangelizing somebody, and come and pray. Whatever decision you need to join the church, you do it. Hey, listen, there's no better place to start out the new year than on the altar. No better place than on the altar. A church on the altar crying out to God. That's the power of God. Lord, help us. Help us, dear God. And to continue in these areas. And we'll give you the glory for it.
Just a moment. The instruments are going to play. God may be speaking to your heart. What a great, great challenge for us here this morning. Really, it is the message of revival. You know, that word, it just simply means to be alive again. This morning, are you alive? Do you know Christ as Savior? If you're alive, then why not try and share that life with others? That's what the church needs. The church needs to be alive and a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all stand. The instruments are going to play. You step out and come.